Good morning. It's good to see you guys. I was with the snow coming, they say, which everybody's happy about. I was thinking no one's going to be here, and I think you don't have an excuse for that because it's only supposed to start at 1 o'clock. So we can stay here till 1 and we'll be in good shape. Nice. A couple things I wanted to say before I started that I was thinking while we were singing. For one thing, I really enjoyed the Sportsman's Banquet. You guys that put a lot of that together, Steve and Jerry and all you guys that put in a lot of time for that. I think it's incredible that this many people, and that they just put out a call for help, and we had amazing servers, and it was a great night, and I really appreciated it. The speaker did a great job. The message was presented, I think, really well in a setting like that, and it's just really interesting to see what God's going to do through something like that. And I appreciate you guys that serve God in any way through that. And some of you guys have prayed for it. It was really cool. Second thing that I was thinking is one of the things that I got a really, really nice compliment this morning. And it's the first time I've gotten a nice compliment in years. But yeah, no, I'm kidding. All right. But someone gave me one of my like top kind of compliments, and she just said, "I want you to know God speaks through you." And that hits me really deeply because I want God to speak through me. I don't deserve God to speak through me, but I want God to speak through me because I don't want it to be my voice and my words and those things. I really want God to speak to you, and I hear that sometimes, or I hear sometimes like everything you were saying was right to me. I don't know you that personally. Some people think their wives got a hold of me or their husbands got a hold of me and say, "Can you speak this about my husband or my wife or my children?" And, you know, God just works and God speaks. He knows. And his word is, the Bible says, alive and living, and it's active. And that's why one person can speak, and sometimes I hear all kinds of different things that God spoke, and sometimes I didn't even say them. That's what the Holy Spirit does. It's just awesome. But I really appreciate that, and that puts a lot of weight and a lot of pressure on me to study well and to do well. And what I'm going to be talking about this morning is, we're not quite done this Heroes series yet, but this is kind of like, I think it's the most practical part that we're going to cover. Really, really practical. I think if we apply these things to our lives, and I know some of you guys are, so what I'm really talking about is keep going. Keep going in this area. And if this is an area that you're not doing really well in, you want to. A lot of believers want to do well in this area, but it's an important area. It really is. I want to give you, if I have time, some personal things about this area, about me, and you know, so I don't know. See, it depends on how much time we have. And no one's up to share their testimony this morning, so I get all kinds of extra time. And you know what? A lot of people think sharing their testimonies, you had to go through your whole entire life, okay? I love to hear what God's doing in your life now. And I love to hear what he did before and some of the things you came through, because that's really encouraging to a lot of people that think they're in a position where nothing good can come out of their lives. And then it happens, they see you up here. It's really encouraging. Don't be afraid to get a hold of us and say, "I've got something I'd like to share." Even if it's a 1 minute, 2 minute, you know, kind of thing. It's just... And everybody, you guys like when people share their testimony, or is it just me? If you don't, no, I'm just, don't say anything if you don't, all right? But, you know, it's so much fun to get to know people a little bit better. So please allow us to know you a little bit better through that, even though it's scary. But it's not a performance, okay? You don't have to say a lot. You don't have to say fancy words or anything like that, obviously, because they let me up here. But, oops. Wow, that's a loud itch. It went away. Wes, you muted my itching. All right, very good. Oh, man. These guys up there have a lot of power, you know? That's a, jeez. Oh, man. So, um, We're talking about this heroes. We started out with the persecution, so it's kind of persecution. We went into heroes of the faith, and we've been talking about going up the stream and putting your foot that putting your feet down in the stream and going against the flow that this world is going. No one really likes to go against. There's a couple people that in the world that like it, but it's not easy, and it's really difficult. But I want to tell you what, this is the way you become a man of God, a woman of God, a student of God, is when you literally just not just say you're a believer in Christ and not just say you're a Christ follower. Anybody can say they're a Christian. It's when you literally start to live it out. And that is really, really difficult. And you will face some forms of persecution in this world. Probably not like other parts of the world at this point yet, but it's coming. But proper perspective to understand that this is just, we're just passing through this life. This isn't where we are going to spend eternity. This is 70 years of our lives. I'm hoping it's like 80, so I have 20 more years left, you know. But we're getting to the end of this life. It's not long anymore. And so we've got to come to the point, and as a student, it seems like it's forever, but every adult will tell you it's not. It just flies past. It doesn't seem like it did, but it just goes, it just flies. We need to be willing to get involved in this life right now in a way that makes disciples, that Vicki says, that brings people to Christ, or at least to live according to God's word. And that's what we're talking about. You're being watched. Heroes get rid of the excess junk they carry. They run with perseverance. They run the race marked out for them. They fix their eyes on Jesus, and they run towards him. And it's kind of like what Jesus did, not my will, but yours be done. And understand that we'll have all of eternity to enjoy stuff and things in God and heaven. But right now, God says, if you're a believer, here I have a race for you. I have a plan for your life. And we looked last week, a plan to prosper, okay? Doesn't mean that everything's going to be, ha ha ha, it's really cool. But a plan to prosper you. To prosper you and get you ready for the kingdom that's coming. And so we looked at Luke 9, 23 to 24. And this is what we ended up last week. Last week seemed like a long time ago. Was this a long week? It seemed like a long week. Yeah, no, it depends on what you had to do this week. But it seemed like a long week to me. But Luke 9, 23 to 24, we read this. Then Jesus said to them all, whoever wants to be my disciples, okay? And that's probably most of you guys here. Most of us want to be disciples of Christ. Otherwise, I don't understand why you're here, all right? Because just coming to church ain't going to do anything for you. You want to become a disciple of Christ, and this is a good place to have that start. Whoever wants to be my disciple says, must, I love that word, must deny himself, take up their cross, and the way a lot of us say it, take up their cross and follow me. But God doesn't say that. He says, take up our cross daily and follow him. I love that. Because if God just said, take up your cross and follow me, it's like, well, what do I do? How do I do that? What is taking up my cross? What is bearing the shame? What is standing up for God? What is going against the flow in this world? He says, take, and I love when he brings it down into take up your cross daily and follow me. And then we went into the two races. There's two kind of races. We had the general race that every Christ follower is called to do, okay? The general race that everyone who claims to be a Christ follower is called to follow this race. And then there's a specific race. But we went to Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. That's the general race. We're called to trust in God, to understand that his ways are best, to be able to say, not my will, but yours be done. His ways are best. Every single believer is called to do that. Trust the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. I shouldn't use understanding in my next sentence, but I want you to understand something, that when it says don't lean on your own understanding, you can't always figure God's will out. Not his will, but you can't always figure his commands out. They don't always make sense. Love your enemies. Do good to them that persecute you. You know how hard that is? Especially for some of you that went through really, really tough things, to love your enemies and do good to those that persecute you. I thought that was hard in junior high school, in elementary school. And it gets harder and harder the older you get, the more you're standing walking up that stream. But we're not going to always understand God's will. A lot of people have trouble understanding God's will for tithing and God's will for giving and God's will for making disciples. It is really hard. It doesn't always make sense. You can't figure it out on paper. Lean not on your own understanding. And then specifically for you, In all your ways, submit to him. In everything you do, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And I don't mean to go back over all that, but that's where we ended last week. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. So many believers are saying, God, what is your will for my life? So many of you guys, I bet most every one of you guys have asked God that more than once in your life. What is your will for my life? What is your will for this next year? What is your will for this year in high school? What is your will for me in college, you know? What is your will for my wife and I? What is your will for me in retirement? A lot of us want to know God's will, and we ask him those things. And God says, specifically, I want you to live for me today. Just live for me today. That general race that you're called to live, live for me today. And then go to bed having lived for me that day. What's this? March 2nd, 3rd. March 3rd, okay? What's God's will for you today? It was to get up and come to church. And every single one of you did that. I'm proud of you, all right? The ones that didn't, I'm not. Well, maybe they're sick and snotty or something, you know? But every one of you guys live, you obeyed God so far today. Now you're going to hear a message. And obedience to God is when God speaks to you about something, then you apply that to your life, even though it's hard. You talk about it on the way home. Men, what you do on the way home is say, God spoke to me today, and tell your whole family what he spoke to you about, okay? And after they die of shock that you brought up the subject and you were willing to expose yourself, an awesome conversation. But then you live for God in the car, and you get home and you live for God in the restaurant or at home. And then you live for God that night, and you go to bed tonight, and guess where you're going to be if you live for God all of today? Where are you going to be? In God's will. So we don't have to say, God, what do you want for me next year, and what do you want for this and that stage of my life? God usually doesn't answer that way. He gives you today. And that's all he expects of us. God doesn't expect your whole life to just change in one sitting when you're honoring, when you're having your quiet time. Live for God today, all right? I love this, and Isaac Cucker, with everybody that's serving in church today gets together in the beginning of church, the praise team and stuff, and Isaac shared this verse with us today, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Isaac led us in this little time, and I love it. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, what are you supposed to do? Do all what? Wow, you guys can read. Awesome. A lot of you guys have that memorized. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, what does that mean? What are we supposed to do for the glory of God according to this verse? Everything. Everything. So chew with your lips closed when you're eating. Because God would sure be offended if we burped, right? Because he didn't design the burp organism in our body. Do we have a burp organ? I think I do. Yeah. I don't know how you burp for the glory of the God. I could like try one. Yeah. Somebody could probably speak a verse while they're burping, you know. Probably some of these girls in the front row can do that. Everything we do to glorify God. You want to know what God's will for your life is? Whatever you do. Do for the glory of God. And you know what? A lot of believers lift up their feet and float down the stream now because that's a hard verse to do. Simple verse to say. Simple verse to understand. Whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Literally, we're asking these questions of God, like, what do you want for my life? And he's saying, whatever you do, do for my glory. And whatever it is that you choose to do and you're doing it for God's glory, that's where he wants you. And he will lead you where he wants you. So we ask these big things because we think God's going to come and write a whole plan for our life and give us a roadmap for the rest of our life. And God doesn't work that way normally. Every once in a while, someone will know. God tells them somehow. He has never told me that. Vicky and I do it like we just do the next thing, okay? When what we're doing for God ends, we do the next thing. What is the next thing? We don't always know. Most of the time, we don't know. And that's when we're going to do some of the things that I'm going to be talking about at the end of this. But just the next thing. And I hate to break it to me, but God's will is not a big deal to understand. And some of us search for it and search for it and search for it. And we spend so much time searching for God's will that we're just forgetting about today. And, oh, I want to do something big. God wants you to do something big. And you know what something big is? Live for God every day. Whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Whether you're in high school, whether eating and drinking in high school, whether you're at work, no matter where you are, do it for the glory of God. You're raising your kids, do it for the glory of God. You're setting up chairs in church, I appreciate the God's debt, you do it for the glory of God. You serve at the sportsman's banquet, you do it for the glory of God, not the really cool food that we had, you know? Whatever you do, do for the glory of God. You got a job in the secular world? Do it for the glory of God. You making money? Do it for the glory of God. You flip burgers at McDonald's? Do it for the glory of God. Praise God. It didn't fall on the floor like all those down there. I'm not trying to make it like, if you're coming to me for great, big, huge answers of what does God want for your life, God, that's what God wants for your life. That's what God wants for your life. And that's what he wants for today. And whatever you do, whether you eat or drink, take narrows down the day, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's the specific ways. And that's the end of the verse. In all your ways, submit to him. He'll direct your paths. That's Proverbs, the end of Proverbs 3:5. In all your ways, submit to him. Okay. And I don't want to oversimplify this, but I'm going to oversimplify it. Okay. I don't think I'm oversimplifying. I'm just going to take it the way God meant it to be. You know, God wrote the Bible so that regular people like you and me understand it. Okay. And I have no idea where people and pastors and stuff get off making the Bible seem like it's complicated. There are some parts of it that, man, it's really hard to understand. But for the most part, the Bible is simple to understand. What don't we understand about whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do the glory of God? I mean, I didn't even have to say that. You already knew that. We could just sit here and put verses up and then go home. Some of you guys, yeah. It's simple. Here's the idea. As simple as I can understand it. It's taking it to okay. Live what you know to be God's will today. Live what you know to be God's will today. The Bible says it. I say it. A lot of times your conscience will tell you that. Okay? You won't always understand it. You just live it. And most of the time you will understand it. Okay? So here's, you live what you know God's, you want to be. Anyway, I just get ahead of myself. You know, you live to Did you understand that? That's speaking in tongues, and we're now becoming that kind of church. No, I'm kidding. We're never doing that in public. Live what you know to be God's will today. So how do you know what God's will today is? Ask him. Get away from the future. Get away from when you're 21. Get away from when you're old. Say, God, what do you want me to do today? What is your will for me today? And I'll bet you he'll show you what his will for you is today. Now, it won't be any like life-changing thing, but live what you know to be God's will today. So you ask God, what do you have for me today? That's his general will, which he already, you go back a couple weeks ago or listen to it on the, there's God tells us that, okay? Then you go to bed. Okay, that night, having done his general will as best you can. What is your general will for me? You live it that day. You go to bed that night having done that. You wake up in the morning and you're in his will. Okay, unless you sleep in sin, which I don't know what you do when you're sleeping in sin, but you know, you just wake up in his will the next morning. Okay, and then what do you say to God the next morning? Guess. What is your will for me today? What do you want me to do? You thought it was going to be some great thing. What do you want me to do for you today? And then you do it. And then you go to bed that night having done his general will as best as you can. Understand what I'm saying? As best as you can. And God doesn't like greatest. Oh, you failed. You missed one little point. No, you just do God's will the best that you can. You go to bed that day and you wake up. And guess where you are then the third day? Where? And God... Now, not everybody is saying that. Where do you wake up the third day? In God's will, okay? And then you repeat the day before. And then you wake up and repeat. And you wake up and repeat. Now, after a year or two of waking up, repeating, or a year or a couple months, it's really interesting because we did this. You're taking the step today, and you're taking the step tomorrow, and the next day you do God's will, 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 and you do that for a year, and you wake up, guess where you'll be? In God's will. You don't really need to ask him, what is your will for me? He's already told us. And it's interesting because when you look ahead, when you wake up in God's will, the 365th morning, you wake up in God's will, and you look out there in towards God's direction, what are you going to see? He said, I'll make your path straight. What are you going to see out there? Nothing. Now, I'd love to see, I think, what God's will is for me in the future, but we're not going to see it. But you turn around and look behind you, and what do you see? You see a path that you made. It's going to snow. You can do this. Anybody here really weird about footprints in their front lawn when it snows? There are some people weird about that. Who said yes? Tony, probably. Okay. All right. I knew that. All right. That's all. Yeah. Tony lives over in Topahawken, real close to the high school over there, and we're just going to show up and ride the four-wheelers around. It's awesome, man. Me personally, I would somewhat have to agree with Tony. I like my front lawn when you wake up in the morning to look out there and see it. It's beautiful, isn't it? Magnificent. And then a bird lands in it. You know? But isn't it magnificent? But if you walk, if you go out and you take a walk in a field, this is the best example I can come up with. You know where I'm going. You go out and you take a walk in a field that just snowed, and you're looking ahead, and it's magnificent, it's beautiful, and you got your kids with you, and you're walking through there, and it's, oh, look how beautiful it is. And you turn around and come home. What do you see? You see a path that you came. You can tell everywhere you went. If you want to track an animal then, you know, and shoot it like we saw him doing last night, you know, you want to do that. You've got a beautiful path looking that way, but nothing this way. This is exactly what God's will for your life is. Trust him today and the next day and the next day and the next day. Obey what you know to be true, what you've learned in church, what you studied in God's word. Obey what you know to be true. And you're thinking, he still hasn't told me his will for my life. But in all your ways, acknowledge him. In all your days, acknowledge him, and you will look back and you see the path, and you'll be able to say, I used to be here and I used to do this, and this was my attitude, and now I'm closer to God, and I look back and I see what I was compared to what I am, and then understand that if you continue to do that, you will be way far ahead someday. You turn back and you look into the future, and you're not going to see anything there. As Christ followers, 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we live by faith. We live by faith, not by sight. Let me read these three verses that we have here. 2 Corinthians 5:7. For we live by faith, not by sight. Galatians 2:20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live. That's when you say, not my will, but yours. But Christ lives in me, and the life I live now, I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for, assurance about what we do not see. And when we continue to ask God, I want to know your will, I want to know your will, I want to know your will. What's God saying? Trust me. I'm a good God. I know the plans I have for you, and they would probably scare you to death. But I know I have the plans I have for you. Do you trust me? And what do most believers say at that point? Literally, no. Because I don't understand this, and I don't want to take another step until I know where I'm going. And that's good in the physical realm. But in the spiritual realm, we live by faith in the Son of God. And the world would say, well, that's a dumb excuse, you know. You're just a weak person. Try living by faith. You'll see how weak that is. You live by faith, not in your ability, but in the ability of God to lead you. So when we look into the future, it's all by faith. You want to know what God's will is for you? Live for me today, 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 today. And when you look into the future and it's unmarked path, trust me, I'll take you there. And in the future, you'll look back and you'll see this long, winding path that took you from one place where you were to how close you are to God now. I promise, I'm not oversimplifying it. We just have this thing we've been taught, you know, in school and in our worldly education, in our life, that we need to know where you're going. Do you know where you're going to, you know, go to school? Do you know, are you planning for the future? Is your retirement account up to keeping you? Do you know how much it costs to go to retirement home now, you know? And do you have enough money to do that? And so your financial planner, mine, sits down with me and says, you don't have enough money for this and that and that. It's like, but I got faith. I'm living for God today. I'm giving to God today. Well, you shouldn't give some. I'm giving to God today because he asked me to. I don't have to understand it. I think there's some things we need to plan for. God asks us to save. God asks us to plan for the future. But how much is enough? And that's what it's, I have more now than when I was 16, I thought I would ever have. You know, I have a car instead of a bicycle. You know? But I'll tell you what, I'll make it as simple as I can. And I think I'm over making it hard. Live for God today. Do you understand this, right? You understand this. Okay, good. Then don't shake your head yes, because when you do that, you are without excuse before God. I'm sorry, I should have said that before I asked you to shake your head yes. Fortunately, I'm old and I forget quickly, so I won't hold you accountable for it. But we, you know what, we all think. Here's another thing. It's just my random thoughts that are written down. They're not really random thoughts, but this has really helped me out. You got to remember this, that God created you to do his will. He, right? You know verses about that? Yeah? Ephesians 2 and just different, a lot of verses about that. God created you to do his will. He has a plan for your life. We read these. God is a very planned out person. You know, he's very like Tony. I mean, he has a plan for how dishes go in the dishwasher, which way they lean, you know, and all that kind of stuff. Amen. Yes, thank you. We're coming to your house. I'm telling you what, man. Bring some dirt clogs and spread it around his yard. You know, I like Tony. He's awesome. God has a plan. Understand this. God created you to do his will. Every single one of you, God created you, no matter how young, how old, God created you to do his will. And guess what else is about God? If he created you to do his will, do you think he wants you to do his will? Yes! He didn't say, well, I created you to do my will, and take it or leave it, I don't really care. It's just I said I'd create you to do my will, so. He wants you to do his will. He wants to do his will because he's not willing that anybody should perish. So whatever teeny little will God has for us goes to the whole of everything that happens. Yeah, I got to present the gospel last night. Woo, aren't I great? But what if no one would have served the food? What if no one made the tickets? We are all going the same direction, and God has his will for every one of us fit into a plan. And he wants us to know it. Please don't forget that. God wants us to know his will. He desperately wants you to do his will. So you know what's not going to happen? God is not going to play hide and seek with his will for you. You know that? A lot of people think so. You're searching for it, and well, maybe this door opens, maybe that door opens, maybe this one closes, or windows, or doors, or shutters, or whatever opens and closes, and God doesn't say, here it is, get it, and you're going, ar, you know? Like playing with your cat with a laser, you know, shining his eyes, just because you're not supposed to shine it in eyes, you know? But it's a cat, doesn't matter. So you're... I'm sorry. We have a cat, the barn cat. Anyway, but with my boys that live there, it's lucky it's things even alive, but we have this, you know, God doesn't say, here's your will, get it, whoop, almost got it over here, yep, almost got it. He doesn't have time for that because people are dying and going to hell every day. He doesn't have time to play with his will. He created us to do his will. He has a plan for every one of us, and he does not hide it from us. We're just looking way out there to find his will, and he's rarely going to give it to us from way out there. He gives it to us one day at a time because that's all I can handle sometimes. Sometimes I can handle a week. Remember this. He created you to do his will. He wants you to do his will. He doesn't play hide and seek with us. Finding and doing God's will is not a game. He is all about us finding his will. And he makes it so obvious, we don't even understand it sometimes. He prints it out in written word. He speaks it through me. He speaks it to your conscience through the word. He speaks it through any way he wants to speak through dreams or whatever. He wants us to find his will. He just does. Doesn't that just make sense? Is this really elementary? Some people would say this is the milk of the word. And I would say this is the solid word of God. He wants us to know his will. He wants us to do his will. So I sat down and all the brilliance my mind could come up with. And I wrote a plan down. Okay. Wow, I got a lot of time today. Whew. I should slow down. Yeah. I might even get done this today, actually. This section of it. And I can't, if I could get my watch off, anyway. My words I come up with. If you looked at your notes, you know my words. Stop, look, and listen. Is that brilliant? I thought, I'm going to coin that stop, look, and listen phrase. I think it's just awesome. You want to know God's will. You want to know, let's just go, you want to know God's will for today. Think of the stop, look, and listen railroad crossing thing, okay? And I just put a verse in with each one that just boils it down, I think, to truth. Some of you guys are already doing this, and I say continue on doing it, and some of you guys haven't quite got to this point yet. But stop, look, and listen. Stop, Psalm 46:10. Psalm 46:10. I think this might be one of the harder ones in today's world. Be still and know that I am God. The rest of it's important too. We're not talking about the rest of it. Be still and know that I am God. Doesn't it make you nervous to be still sometimes? There's no music. There's no games playing. There's no TV on in the background. Kids are still in bed or dead. But there's no... I'm sorry. Or sleeping like they're dead. That's what I meant. It just... Yeah, anyway. Be still and know that I am God. When in our life do we make time to be still and know God? And why do you think God told us this a long time ago, way back when David lived? Be still and know that I am God. I'm telling you, right there is where a lot of believers fail. They don't take time to be still. And now you can call it devotions. You can call it quiet time. What are some other words for what I'm talking about? And I'm not even, at this point, I'm not even talking about reading. I'm talking about be still and know that I'm God. When's the last time you ever just sat? When you weren't sleepy, got a cup of coffee, sat down and took a drink or whatever you drink and say, I want to know you, God. In other words, this is kind of like prayer time. When's the last time you had your own prayer time, literally? Unless you were crying out to God because someone's in major need or sick or cancer or something entered your family. When's the last time you ever just stopped and know that he is God? Literally to pray. Sit down and pray and say, God, I want to get to know you. Please reveal yourself to me today. Speak to me today. I've had a hard week. I've had an easy week. I got a test or whatever. It's not even really the request time and giving God your shopping list of things you think he ought to do for you, just to be still and say, God, I want to know you. I want you to know me. Here's my heart. Because he didn't need you to tell you what's on your heart. And God, can you please reveal yourself to me this morning or in the next couple minutes? I want to know you better. I think it's a desire that becomes so strong that I just want to know him more. If I want to live for God today, I should know him. I should know the person I'm living for. Be still and know that I am God. Take time to communicate with God in prayer. And this isn't the before dinner prayer, because that's before dinner prayers that are long or stupid. It's just, I'm hungry. I can't think of the prayer. I'm just thinking about what's wafting up in front of me. And she's thinking about, it's getting cold. Okay? A prayer before dinner is awesome. But this is different. This is when you take time to stop and know that he is God. That's one thing. Take time to stop. God usually speaks in a very still, small voice. God usually doesn't say, hey, over here. He just says, I'll talk to you, but are you willing to listen? Did you ever try to talk to someone that wasn't listening to you? Men, did you ever try to talk to a multitasking wife? Probably not. Sometimes I have some, every once in a while I have something I want to say to Vicky. I'm kidding about the every, and she said, well, you know, she's doing this, and I'm listening. No, you're not. You can't listen and be doing this and doing that. I don't understand that. That's beyond my mind, all right? She can. I can't. And I don't think it's in talking to the Lord Jesus Christ is not good. I think you can talk to him driving and talk to him anytime you want, but I'm talking about this being still and knowing that I'm God. Take time. God usually speaks in a still, small voice. You want to know God's will? Listen intently for it. But you have to be quiet sometimes. I mean, stop speaking to him and just listen. If you're constantly looking and searching and not finding his will for you, you're probably not taking time to get to know him. If you are constantly searching and asking, what is your will for me? You are probably not, it's probably not God who's not speaking, because does he want you to know his will? Huh. According to most of the Bible, he does. Actually, all the Bible, he does. But if you're not hearing God answer that, you're probably not taking time to get to know him. So stop, and then you come to the look part of it. The look part of it. Guess what the look part of it is? Where is 99.9% of his will for you written? In the Bible. It's written out already. God, what's your will for me? What's your will for me? I'm looking for God's will for me. I don't know what God's will for me. Read the Bible. It's written in there. I say that not angry. Just sounded like it. Just felt fun to say it like that. Because I think sometimes I don't think God gets frustrated like that. I think I would if I'm God. You're lucky I'm not God. Anyway. Look. Listen to Joshua 1:8. Specifically, this is God's general will for you as a believer. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Meditate on the word of God. Not just, oh, I'm not busting on this, but nope, didn't just read my daily bread. I don't think that suffices for knowing God. That is awesome scripture teaching. Not busting on any kind of devotional, but look at the word of God. If your devotional is the word of God and has huge amounts of the word of God in it, like the daily bread, that's awesome. Nothing wrong with that. But keep this book of the law always on your lips. How do you do that? You meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And I left out the last really cool sentence. What's the last really cool sentence in that? This is awesome. That you will be prosperous and successful. Of course, nobody really cares about being prosperous and successful, do we? Spiritually, that's what God's talking about. Not financially. Spiritually, if you do this, if you meditate on God's word, you keep this on your lips, you meditate on it day and night so you may be careful to do everything written in it, then you will be prosperous and successful. And that takes us to stop, look, and then listen. Listen. Now, really, listening is part of the stopping process, but we're not talking about that kind of listening. We're talking about the listen that says, act on it. Do what it says. That's what you tell your kids. I want you to listen to me. Doesn't mean stop and just give me your ear. It means obey. So you stop, you listen to God's will. You listen and get to know God. You read his will in the word of God, and then you do it. You obey it. James 1:22, simple. Do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. What? Do what it says. Do what it says. That's the hard part. Hard part is stopping. The hard part is looking. And the hard part is listening, all right? This is not easy. It's easy to do, to know it's hard to do. Stop, look, and listen. Do not merely listen to the word of God and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Some people think when it comes to devotions and quiet time, I read, therefore I am. Okay? And no, it's not that. I read, therefore I do. Just because you read the word of God, that's nice. But you read so you can do. If you're looking for God's will, you read so that you can do. You want help standing up today, and you want help standing up in the future and through high school and through college. You read, therefore you do. So how can this apply to me? And I don't know many other people's personal lives when it comes to a relationship with God, what they do every day. So I've got to share a little bit from my personal life. I don't do it right, okay? You understand my agreement, right? There's not just one way to do it, and I found it, okay? I'm just going to give you my way of doing it. There are so many ways to listen, so many times that you can literally have a few moments of quiet time. So many ways and so many different things to read in the God's Word. And then we're all going that direction, you know, that direction. We're all going on our own path. We're not called to do the same thing. But one of the ways I've done it in my life is when I was growing up in my life, in junior high. I remember in junior high, the Living Bible just came out. So it went from the King James to the Living Bible, you know, the colorful cover and everything. It's like, wow, I understand these words, you know, because I'm like a real person, not an ancient person then. I got to read this. It was so cool. I remember all through my junior high years into most of my senior high years, every night I would go to bed and, you know, and I would roll over, turn the light on, get my Bible out, and I would pray. And the first thing I would do is say, God, please speak to me through this passage. And I learned an interesting way to know how to have quiet time. And I've kind of followed this through my whole life. But I would pray first and say, God, please speak to me. Because I'm searching for God's will for my life that day and the next day. Okay? And I was searching for it in the future too, but he never gave that to me, and he doesn't. But yeah, so I'm saying, God, please speak to me. And I want to hear from you. Literally, I want to hear from you. I want to know what you have for me to do. We need to desire God to speak to us, okay? Because we don't desire God to say, go ahead, God, talk to me anyway. You know, it's like you're not going to hear a thing. You got to get to the point where you say, God, I really do want to know. Please speak to me. And so I'd pray that, and God speak to me. And then I'd open up the Bible. And I literally, all through my junior high and senior high years, I read the Word of God every night before I went to bed. Okay, and the way I still do, and this is just a way, you can do it however you want, okay, I would say, God, I would read until God spoke to me, okay, some people have to read the chapter or book the whole way through the Bible or whatever, that would have been forever, but I have read that, but I get to the point where I say, I'm going to start taking this passage, now I didn't pick I almost said stupid books of the Bible. But I shouldn't, there's no stupid books in the Bible. because God put them in there. Anyway, you know, I picked ones that were written more to a young man, you know, like Timothy and some of those places, you know. And I didn't really go back into the law books and stuff like that when I was in junior high. So I would pick something that was written to young men like Timothy, and I would start in Timothy or James, or some of those places are really cool. I say things to get myself in big trouble, but I started reading some of them. And so I would open up and I would start reading. And my goal was to read until something kind of reached out and grabbed me, you know. And sometimes I read three verses. And sometimes I would read a chapter. And sometimes I read more. But my goal was to read. And I say, God, I want you to speak to me tonight. So I would read until something jumped out at me, okay? Until there was something that I read that either I don't understand or it's like, wow, that's interesting or something. And I would stop on that verse. Read just to make sure that was the end of that concept and read that. And say, that's interesting. And then go back and reread the context that's surrounding it and say, that's really interesting. I never knew that I need to stop right there. And I would stop there. And the next question I would ask is, God, why did you make that jump out and grab me? Your word of God is living, it's active, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It pierces, even dividing the soul. What is it? Why did you stop on this verse with me? And then I'd listen, and I'd think, and I'd reread it, and then all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, just this little feeling like, I don't think I'm doing that one. I think I need to be doing that one. I think I probably messed up in this area today. I think, God, you're showing me something, trying to grow me and build me. And I would allow God to speak to that. I always find out, why in the world did I stop? I wouldn't quit until I found out why that one jumped out and grabbed me. I think it was my junior high Bible teacher that taught me how to do that, Claire. It was just an incredible, incredible thing. It's not that I made it up. It just worked for me. And so I'd read the word until God spoke to me. Sometimes I would go far, sometimes wouldn't. Then I'd underline that passage, put a bookmarker in there. And the next day when I went back to the Bible, I would reread that, evaluate how I did, and then go till the next thing came. And it was interesting. And then what I would do, I would listen to what I kind of said this. I would listen to what God had to say to me about it. And I would say, okay, what can I do about it? And then I would pray. I thank God for what he spoke to me. Say, this is what I think I'm going to do with this. This is my plan. And also, I got a final coming up tomorrow and I didn't study yet. Please give me extraordinary wisdom tomorrow, you know. Have a term paper to do, and I do have a couple notes written down somewhere. Please, like, do a miracle in my life. And they never usually got answered, okay? But what usually got answered is when I, you know, pray and commit my life to God. But that's when I pray for the other things in my life and add that stuff on. And, you know, that last prayer was the most fun thing. You know why? Because I would usually go to sleep in the middle of it, you know, or in the beginning of it. I don't even know what I prayed during that time, you know? And I used to think, that's kind of like in the middle of a conversation, and, you know, I'm talking about. Is that rude to God? Now, before you answer the question, I used to think, is that rude to God? And I thought, what better place to fall asleep than literally talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords rather than letting my mind go to somewhere else where junior, senior, high, and all men go? You know, and I never felt guilty about that. Because that was the unimportant part of the prayer. The important part of the prayer, I think, was saying, God, please speak to me in that quiet time. I did that almost consistently all through junior high, high school. I mean, not every single day. I get paid now to study the Word of God and to do that, which is awesome. And then we got married, and that kind of messes up having your devotions before you go to sleep. So that habit changed. So So I did. I went the next best thing, because by then, you know, living for God this day and this day, we're going to church. And then, you know, by the time I got out of high school, I was 18 years old before I got out of high school. It took me a long time. I was 18 years old in 11th grade, but I was already driving school buses by then. And not to school, but just for bus trips and things like that. And so we started going to church, and they had a bus ministry. I needed a driver, so God never told me, you're going to be a school bus driver. And they needed a driver, so I just... I said, well, I can drive. I take bus trips to Washington, Lancaster Bible College. I take their students down to Washington for a day, you know. And so they let me drive bus for them. And started got involved in the bus ministry down there. Didn't plan on it, but got involved in the bus ministry. Only had one accident driving a bus. And it was right in front of church. Church was Center City, Lancaster, and going around the corner right in front of the church. And I didn't know it until the end of the second service. Charlie Brown went to our church. Funniest guy you ever saw in real life. No, it wasn't. It was Charlie Brown was his name. He says, did you hit my car with a bus? Somebody told me you hit my car. You got to be kidding me. I did a hit and run on a church person, you know. He took me to court and sued. No, he didn't. And I said, nah, I don't think I did. I don't remember hitting any bus, but I went around the back of the bus. I just scraped the whole side of his car off. It was awesome. And he was a guy, like you said. He said, that's fine. We'll get it taken care of. No problem. I didn't know I did it. I would have, you know, somebody told on me, I guess. But, you know, got involved in that and then got involved in the ministries there, and we got a Bible study started. And then you know, as you live for God today and the next day and the next day, then a church I used to go to when I was a kid called me up and said, I know you guys have a camp, and I know you know, work with kids at your church. Could you come start a youth group in our church? And, you know, by this time, Vicki and I were married, and it's like, no. What? Anyway, no, we did. We prayed about it, and that was the next thing. And we went there and started a youth group and had, like, what, how many kids? Four kids, five kids. They were all senior high boys who hated anybody else that wasn't a senior high boy. And every time we'd bring new people into the group, they'd just stare at them like, nah, they're not near like you guys. You guys are awesome when new people come, right? You cheer and do all that. You guys are awesome. But they wouldn't do it. So we tried for 6 months, and we said, fooey with it. So we had an Awana program just starting. We went down to, like, third grade. And we taught the third grade Awana boys and girls, and then we taught the fourth grade Awana boys and girls, and fifth grade, and then sixth grade, and right into youth group. And we developed a youth group from there up, and it was awesome. And I became a youth leader, which I hated youth leaders, okay? Not that I didn't like them. I never wanted to be a youth leader or that kind of stuff. And so for years, we were a youth leader in that church, developed a really cool youth group, almost as cool as what you guys have here, but we never called ourselves the Circle, you know? We didn't even have houses, you know, in our youth group, but, you know, so it wasn't as neat as this, but it developed into that, and then we moved up here, and a church on the other side of the mountain said, so you had a youth group before, you know? I was in construction my whole life. You want to be a youth? And they offered to pay me full time, and all of a sudden I was a pastor, and then all of a sudden, you know, a senior pastor left, and you want to be the senior pastor, and it just, and here I am now, the pinnacle of my career. With you. Things I shouldn't say in second service. I wouldn't trade this for anything in the world until God shows us the next thing, which he hasn't showed us the next thing. This is, I love it. I love you guys. I love it being here. Vicki and I always said before, that we always wanted to be missionaries is what we always wanted to be. But God never called us to missions. We were like bummed out. So we go on a bunch of trips and stuff like that. We were bummed out. God said, I want you to stay. I want you to speak to Americans. Okay? And I understand that every time I try to speak to foreigners, they don't like understand. I don't know how your guy from Brazil does. What's your name? Thomas. Yeah, I don't know how Thomas or anybody that ever comes from another country understands me or can keep up with me. But you know, I always said, I never wanted to lead a Bible study, ever. And I never wanted to be a pastor. That's my whole life. If God would have showed me that, did you ever hear someone say, you know, don't tell God what you're not going to do? We literally said that. I never wanted to be a pastor. I would have been scared to death, and I would have headed in a different direction. But God just, every time we live for God, a little bit. We were in there, and I told you before, I led a guy in one of my apartment buildings to Jesus Christ, you know? And it's like, okay, great, you're saved. I got my little thing. He left. And then my cousin. I lead my cousin to Christ. He's into drugs and all kinds of stuff. He gets saved. Now all of a sudden I have two people I led to Christ. I'm reading God's word, and God makes me responsible to disciple them. I don't know how to disciple people. What in the world do I do with that? These are old people. Maybe if it's a kid, you know? But these are old people. And so I had to go back to the guy. I felt so guilty. I didn't want to do it. I had to go back to the guy. Just, yeah, like, how do you tell a, you know, when you're like 18, 19, 20 years old or whatever, how do you tell a 35 or 40-year-old guy and a druggie, you know, that, you know, do you want to, like, have a Bible study? That's dumb. And they both said, yeah. They didn't even know each other. Now what am I going to do? God said, this is the next step right here. And what do I got to do? What am I supposed to do according to God's will? The next step. And we started that. And that's somewhere back in the middle of the story somewhere. And I could look back and it's like, I have no idea how God got me here, because I wouldn't have come here on my own. And what I would have missed out on is unbelievable. I mean, literally, I wouldn't trade anything that happened to me my whole life for this right now. For you guys sitting there with this look on your face like, he's awesome. So we should move on, shouldn't we? Actually, we should move out. I don't know how to tell you this, and probably next week I'm going to start. I asked Vicki while we were singing, I said, and I just shared my quiet time pattern with you, okay? And I asked, she has a whole different quiet time pattern than I do. I told her to be ready because in the middle of this, I just told her while we were singing the last song, be ready because I might call you up to share your quiet time pattern. I might start out with that next week. But this is so important to stop, look, and listen. So important to that daily walk with God. And I guarantee you, it's not me. I'm just like every other working person out there my whole life. God took me. My path, when I look back, comes different than some people's. And your path comes different from mine. And missionaries come different. And teachers come different. And working people come different. I just, it's not me. This is not what I wanted to be. But I wouldn't trade it for anything in the world. And that's what kind of, when you get towards the end of when you live for God day. Now, I'm not perfect. You understand? I said, you live for God as best as you can that day. And God says, I don't expect you to live perfect, but live for me today. But don't think God's will is some great big thing way out there in the future that if you found out, wow, that would be awesome, because it would probably scare you to death. He might be saying, well, if I told you that 2 months from now you're going to be standing up front sharing your testimony, you'd stop coming, you know? And we'd see Bob coming with his notebook, and you would run, okay? But somehow God brings people up here, and almost every person that's ever been up here feels that exact same way. But God takes you to the point like that. Just he weaves people in to those kind of things. Whatever's next, whatever's next, whatever's next. God, be still. I'm telling you what, I think the key to living for God is that stop, look, and listen. Doesn't have to look like me, doesn't have to look like Vicki, but that stop, look, and listen. And if you're stopping, looking, and listening and taking that and not being a hearer of the word of God, but a doer of it, you are where God wants you to be. Be content with that. Be content today with that. Tomorrow, what do you want me to be? And the next day, what do you want me to be? And then every once in a while, just turn around and look at the path and look at the tracks in the field that you made, that God has you where you are right now. And remember, I'm 60 years old. It's taken me 60 years to get here, okay, plus 9 months. So I'm 60 plus 9 months, okay? It's taking me, the first 9 months were ridiculous. But we better pray. Lord Jesus, you're an amazing God. You care about us so much. You want us to know your will. You don't play games with it. You don't hide it. I pray that we might, as people, turn stuff off. Find a time. Lord, after I was married, I went to McDonald's on the way to work and drank coffee in the corner of McDonald's and did the same pattern in the corner of McDonald's. And you spoke to me there. All through our life, you've spoken to Vicki and I in those quiet times in the desert, those quiet times in our individual lives. I pray that my people here might continue that pattern that they have. That the junior high, middle school, the senior high, the college, the middle-aged mother, us old people might do this. Be still and know that you are God. And I pray that whatever it is you have for us today, as insignificant as it seems, it's not in the scheme of a whole life. Lead us where you want us. We live by faith in you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this day. In Jesus' name, amen.